Today's June 17th, year 2007, the third Sunday after Pentecost. And before we go on with the main topic of our sermon, I want to add another Holy Eucharist verse, one of the main ones I missed, that I gave to everybody last week, and I'm not going to read the verse. I want everybody to go to their Bibles and look at it. And I say this in particular to the Protestants, as I again said last week, here's another Holy Eucharist verse staring you right in the eyes, that Jesus Christ really is on Catholic altars when a priest consecrates and transubstantiates and turns the bread into the body of Christ and the wine into the blood. It really is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord under the appearance of bread and wine. The bread and wine is no longer there. It just appears to be. It's the illusion. The reality is the body and blood of our Lord under the species called the Holy Eucharist. And I tell you to go to Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. And I gave you the other verses last week. So I want you to go look them up. And I say to you fundamentalists, why do you not take that literal? All right, now, we're going to get onto the topic. We started, it's going to take us maybe another a week or two to do this. We're going to talk now about judging hearts. Because you have some of these sly people who admit, after what we spoke about last week, that, well, okay, I agree, Jesus did say we can make judgments. Because that is stupid to say nobody can judge. That is the stupidest of the stupid. That's real dumb, you know. But some smarter heretics, non-judgmentalist heretics, get around that, as heretics always want to do. Once you disprove their theory, because the whole ultimate goal of the heretic in this area, or even the pagan of non-judgmentalism, is to get people no longer to condemn anybody for committing sins, or to no longer tell anybody that you are definitely on the road to hell and you need to do A, B, C, and D to get yourself right with God. They no longer want that to happen. They no longer want anybody's consciences to be indicted or be told for certain that they're sinners. So what they do to get around that first attack that we hit them with, that first volley of attacks which destroys them on their idea that no one can make any judgments, they then come up with another thing. And are going to read on that called judging hearts. They go, well, we can judge objectively their actions, but we can never subjectively judge their hearts. And that's another heresy. And another stupidity. And another thing that's contrary to even pagan common sense that even pagans have. And a particularly Catholic common sense. You certainly could judge the hearts of men when their actions are made manifest to you. That is definite. And that's the other sly thing where we can only say he objectively committed a sin, but we can never know what's in his heart. False. And now this is coming from the second chapter of my book on judging called Judging Hearts. And here's the question we get from these heretics. I agree, Catholics can make judgments, but they can only judge sin and not the sinner. They can judge the act, but not the man. They cannot judge the heart. No man can know what is in another man's heart. Therefore, no man can truly know if another man is guilty or not. That's the next stage that these heretics move to. So that it amounts to the same thing. You're not really judging. All you're saying is, you've done something that appears to be a sin, but I don't know if you're really guilty. This way, you're removing the guilt from the person, and you're taking away the ability of Catholics, or anybody even in the world, to make real judgments. Just try to get away with that in a pagan court, in a non-Catholic court system, and they'll throw you right out of the court on your ears for being stupid, and rightly so. Okay, so now we get into my answer, my reply to this. A man can read the hearts of men if their words and works are manifest. We quote from Ecclesiasticus 21:11, the way of sinners is made plain with stones, and their end is hell and darkness and pains. And we read from Proverbs 27:19, as the faces of them that look therein shine in the water, so the hearts of men are laid open to the wise. Even the unwise can know many things that are in the hearts of men, but the wise, faithful Catholics can even know deep things that are in the hearts of men. Quote, the soul of a holy man discovers sometimes true things more than seven watchmen that sit in the high places to watch. End quote, Ecclesiasticus 37:18. Catholics in the state of grace have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost dwelling in them. Thus they can judge the deep things in men's heart if the sinner's crimes are manifest to them. Quote, some men's sins are manifest. End quote. 1 Timothy 5:24. That's what St. Paul says. Some men's sins are manifest. And in Proverbs 20:26, we read, he that covereth hatred deceitfully, his malice shall be laid open in a public assembly. Our Lord says if you're an obstinately malicious person, you will not be able to hide your sin. It will be out there for everybody to know, not just that you're a sinner, but the guilt also of your sin. Your malice will be opened. Your malice your evilness, your guilt will be laid open to the public assembly. Good Catholics make true judgments based upon spiritual motives, not carnal ones. Quote, but the spiritual man judgeth all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. End quote. 1 Corinthians 2:15-16. In the spiritual realm, in the ultimate judgments, no pagan court can sit in judgment against us on the things of God, the ultimate things that really count. They can judge us in temporal matters, if you're on court matters, secular things in society, but they cannot pass any ultimate judgments against us when it has to do with the most important things, which are the things of God. That's what he's saying. And he's also saying a spiritual man can judge not only better than you courts, I can judge exactly the way if it's a fair court system, and a secular plane of a pagan court system even, I can judge the way you judge, and I can even one-up you, because I see things the way God sees it. So I can even one-up you and judge even better than you judge. And I can even pass down better sentences. Anyway, that's what he's saying here. But he's talking that this spiritual man, Catholics, can judge all things. Okay, now we read, and sometimes by special revelation from God, Catholics can judge the secret things in men's hearts. That is a little bit out of place. I could have put that up top. You can even know what's in a man's heart if he's a secret sinner or an occult sinner if God reveals it to you. But that's another issue. Now, a man can know what is in another man's heart if that man's words and deeds are public. Some common sense examples are as follows. If a man is playing basketball, I know basketball is in his heart. If I catch a married man committing adultery, I know adultery is in his heart. If I catch a man robbing a bank, I know stealing is in his heart. If a man says he loves a woman and pursues her with all his might, I know the love of that woman is in his heart. If I see a Muslim praying to his false god, I know his false god is in his heart. And see, they would have to say, that's only objective. He doesn't really mean it. If he has a good will to do God's command, he can be implicitly a Catholic. It goes down the line to that. That's what they say. Okay? You don't know. If I see a Buddhist bow down, pray, and burn incense before a statue of Buddha, I know that Buddha is in his heart. Definite. Done deal. No presumption. There we don't need to have the objective-subjective rule. He's not just objectively, he's also subjectively doing it. It's a done deal. It's in his heart. It sounds simple, and it is simple. If it were not simple, there would be no way for anyone to judge another person. Only a perverted and heretical theology that I call non-judgmentalism, the heresy of non-judgmentalism, would attempt to deny these simple truths that even pagans know, so as to separate the word or act from the person who willfully said and did it. Because of the secret sins men hide from others, and even themselves, a Catholic may never know for sure if he or any other Catholic is in a state of grace, unless by special revelation. Quote, who can understand sins? For my secret sins cleanse me, O Lord. King David says that in Psalm 18:3. And another verse, prove me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me, and know my paths. And see if there is be in me the way of iniquity, and lead me in the eternal way. Psalm 138:23-24. And quote, St. Paul says, for I am not conscious of myself of anything, yet I am not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:4. He's going as far to say there's even things that sins you don't even know are sins that you've committed, and God holds you mortally guilty. And when you pray to God, let me not make excuses for those sins. And the reason that these things happen in our lives and we hide our sins is because we've been obstinate and not confessing them early on in, and then they become used to me and God, and you become numb to it. But you're still guilty. And we're saying, God, if there's any obstinate hiding in me, is there anything that I have not cooperated with you in my sins because I'm hiding them from myself, reveal them to me. So this is the absolute opposite even these other people. You can actually not even appear to other people to be committing sins or even yourself, but you could be committing a whole bunch of sins inside your heart. Those things you have to pray for God to help you with. However, unlike hidden sins, public sins and sinners are not hidden. They lay open to all and can be seen by other men. A Catholic must believe all non-Catholics, as well as Catholics in mortal sin, are in a state of damnation and on the road of hell. That's a definite. Not a maybe, not a probable, it's a done deal. If he's not Catholic, he says he's a Protestant, a guy comes up to you and says, I'm a Lutheran, pal, you're on the road to hell. I tell you this because I love you, I don't hate you, but I love my God first, your religion is false, and your soul's in a state of damnation. You need to be Catholic. That's a done deal. No objective. He told me what's in his heart. You know the guys, if he goes to this Lutheran church, he's a Lutheran, he's a heretic, he's outside the church, he's on the road to hell. Okay, a Catholic who knows a man is not Catholic, or knows a Catholic willfully committed a mortal sin, knows for certain that that man is guilty and in a state of damnation. When the situation demands it, he must denounce the man, inform him that he is on the road to hell, and call him to repent if he is a non-Catholic, and if he is a non-Catholic, to convert. Those are done deals. You catch your Catholic neighbor committing adultery, and you catch him in the act, it's a done deal, pal. It's in his heart. He's done it. And your obligation is to go up and say, you are on the broad road to hell. You committed a mortal sin. I don't know how many times you've been doing it. You better stop now. Go to the priest and confess your sins and amend your life. And if he doesn't stop and he's doing this and everybody sees that, you have to avoid him. He's infamous. Adultery is infamous, period. You then have to go out and warn other people if he doesn't listen. If you caught him secretly, give him a chance to repent. But if he doesn't repent, then he has to you have to expose it. Okay. Men are not orphans with no way of knowing they're in a state of damnation. Because this is what non-judgmentalism does. Even though God said almost all men are going to hell, they say God has left us no way to know for certain if we're on that road or not. This is my next part here. God did not leave men orphans so that there is no way for goodwill men to know if they're on the road to hell or not, and thus be surprised on their judgment day with an eternal death sentence. For that would be a cruel and merciless God. God says somewhere in Matthew 14:15-14:18, I will not leave you orphans. Jesus says that. I say good-willed men, not because God does not also want to say bad-willed men, but because God knows ahead of time who is ultimately of good will or bad will, and many times allows ultimately bad-willed men, whom God knows ahead of time will not use their free will to cooperate with His grace, to remain in darkness because they are worthy of it. Saints have already done their time on earth, fulfilling their obligation, which included admonishing, rebuking, and warning sinners. In the ordinary course of events, God does not send angels and saints from heaven to preach and teach His word, to warn, to admonish, to rebuke, and to call men who are in a state of damnation to repent and convert. No, God uses Catholics as His mouthpiece on earth to pass down His judgments, to warn men who are on the road to hell, to be Catholics, to be a light of the world, in the world. If not Catholics, then who judges men on earth so that they may know where they stand in the eyes of the true God, the Catholic God? Woe to so-called Catholics who shirk this obligation, who instead of warning, condemning, and calling to repentance or conversion those who are in a state of damnation, remain silent, or worse, tell them that they can be a state of grace and achieve salvation. Because I can't judge your heart. So therefore, I don't know for sure. The poor puppy, he's been over there committing adultery for 10 years, but he may not really have adultery in his heart. He don't know what he's doing. He's not really guilty, huh? Oh, what an abomination this guy is. I think it is appropriate for here, right? Yeah. We're going to tell a little story about Father Paul Trinchard, another heretic and apostate who belongs to the Vatican II Church. And I met him in Mississippi once, and that's the last time. I don't plan on meeting him again unless he's got some goodwill and decides to repent and convert. And we thought this guy was somewhat... he calls himself a traditionalist, by the way. We know all traditionalists are heretics also. All of them. And he just proves it more so. He wrote for the Remnant. He used to write for the Wanderer, and then he wrote for the Remnant, and then, I don't know, he has his own place down there in Louisiana. But we were down there trying to show him the state of the conscience position. He refused to listen. I asked him questions about, you know, has the church ever taught that if a prelate that supposedly holds an office as a manifest or becomes or does hold an office becomes a notorious heretic, public heretic, does he lose his office? He refused to answer me, and he wouldn't even read the evidence I had right there. He said to me, he says, you're no theologian or you're no church, you can't make that judgment. He says, I know I can't, but the church already has. Here's the teachings, Father, that indeed any prelate that holds an office who becomes a public heretic automatically loses his office without the need of a declaration. He refused to even read it. And I had it right in front of his eyeballs, right in front of his... I sit right on the right side of him. And he was sitting at the head of the table. And he would not look at it even. You want to talk about affected ignorance? This is what these all... Father, the other apostate did that, Father Wathen, too. Anyway, we were coming up talking about judging and all that. He's full of non-judgmentalism, which really surprised me. I never knew he had this heresy until we confronted him. You know, I don't know if I ever wrote about this even, so you're hearing about it now. I spoke about it maybe somewhere else, but I don't think I wrote about it. So to warn you about this lying, deceiving bastard. But we were sitting there, and we were talking about judging people in general. And he says, nobody can judge nobody. Nobody can really judge anybody for certain. We can only make an objective judgment. He says, like this to us, I can only say that somebody objectively committed a mortal sin, but I can never know for sure if he ever really did, ever. Now, I was invited down there by the Kinesny family, and they have a place in Mississippi. And they're the ones that invited Father Trenchard. He knew I was going to be down there, and he came from Louisiana to meet me at their house. Now, we were all in shock at that one. You know, and Eloise Kinesny said, Father, I'm surprised that I'm in shock because you mean to tell me you're supposed to be my confessor and I'm supposed to go for you to get my sins absolved and get penance and to know if I committed a mortal sin or not, and you telling me you can never know if I committed a mortal sin?
Right.
Aren't you supposed to be a judge and a penitent as a priest and judge sins and give penance? How can you do that? He goes, no, all I can say is objectively you committed a mortal sin, but I can never say you really did because I can't read your heart. But I said, oh, whoa, Father. He said, well, I don't know if you knew the law against it and if it was presented to you and what was going on in your mind at that time. Now, there is a place for an objective-subjective argument, but not in the cases we're talking about, no. These heretics say that it's always that way. You can never read the heart. So, first they said, Father, anytime anybody breaks the law upon their heart, they're guilty, period, because that law is there. And if they don't acknowledge it, that's their problem. It's there, indicting them. So the minute even a pagan commits adultery on a pagan island, he's committed a mortal sin, period. You don't need somebody to read the Ten Commandments then. That's in Romans 2:12, and he says, and the unbelievers, when they sin without the law, they shall be condemned without the law, because they have the law upon the heart which shall condemn them. And us who have the Ten Commandments are doubly guilty, because we sinned against the law upon our heart and the Ten Commandments which God has revealed to us. So we get double guilt. But that doesn't alleviate the person who breaks the law upon his heart. So I said to Father Trinchard, I said, wait a second, we're unbelievable. And then another Canadian said, Father, that's just some more of your liberal Jesuit theology. This is an abomination. We can't believe what he said before, that he can never tell if I'm going to commit a mortal sin. So I gave an example. I said, let me give you an example. Father, I understand what you're trying to say here. I said, but first of all, you're denying the law upon the heart, but I want to give you an example. Somebody comes to you to confession and says you committed adultery. You can't tell if he committed mortal sin. No, I can't know what's in his heart. Maybe he doesn't know the law against it. Well, then I told him he already has a law upon his heart. Even the pagan's guilty. But I said, but let's say for the sake of argument, okay, he needs to be told the Ten Commandments. What is that, the Sixth Commandment? Okay, he needs to be told the Sixth Commandment. All right, so you go, well, now, objectively, you committed a mortal sin, but subjectively, I don't know if you heard about the Sixth Commandment, but here, let me tell you about it. And now you tell him, Father, the Sixth Commandment is you can't commit adultery because that really is, that's a mortal sin. Now you know it. I told him, now you told him, right, Father? Correct, okay. He leaves the confessional and goes out during the week and commits another act of adultery, comes back to you next week, and now you told him, is he guilty of mortal sin for sure? He says, I still can't tell. I could never read his heart. That's as bad as it got.
Yeah.
That's the end of the line. He's lucky I didn't punch his face out right there. But I didn't because I was hoping I can convert him all that. That'll come later if he doesn't repent. If you try to pull that stuff from Mary's Little Remnant, he might not get out of here alive. But I will tell you something. That's that asinine devil, that's what he believes in. Now, I say this to all you good-willed non-Catholics out there that are listening to me, because I give these sermons for you too. I really love you and want you to convert, and I want you to know what true Catholicism is. And I want to explain to you people, don't listen to these people who are saying they're Catholic, they're idiots, and you guys know it. That's not true Catholicism. That guy's a dope, even according to pagan standards or non-Catholic standards, when a guy sits in court, in the temple court, to judge criminals. So here this guy has the audacity to say he can't judge anybody, certainly in their hearts. This is really pertinent that Brother Will just brought up, so it was the Holy Ghost inspiring him for me to tell the story, because this is it in a nutshell. And she goes, well, you mean to tell me that there's no way you can never know if anybody ever committed a mortal sin, no matter what, as this is an abomination, Father. He'd be locked up in the nut house. Really. A guy taught that in school, they say, put this guy in the nut house, the idiot house. And don't let him out until he wises up, because no one is that stupid. But they are that stupid. And you want to know why? Because they don't want to judge anybody because the spirit of martyrdom will come down upon them. Because the minute you start telling people that there's mortal sinners that are going to go to hell, you're going to get persecuted. They're going to take away your fancy home and your car. You're going to lose all your social friends you had in that world. You're going to become reprobated and persecuted. But this is a great thing that Catholics, we need to do these things. We need to be persecuted by the world, or we're not doing the right job, and it separates us from them like oil and vinegar, and puts us in the camp with good Catholics and separates us from the reprobates. But these guys love the world. And that's what Father Trinchard actually said. I said, you mean to tell me? Then he comes back a second time, right after you just told him, well, by the way, pal, you know, it's the sixth commandment. You showed him everything. And he comes back the next week, and he did it again. He says, I still can't say he's certainly guilty because I can't read his heart. And if that guy's, like I say, that's why even the apostate Father Chicata believes the same thing. When I spoke to him on the phone, and I called John Paul II a heretic, he says, well, no, you can't call him a heretic. I mean a formal heretic. We don't know really if he's truly guilty in his heart. I said, that was my first and last conversation I ever had with Chicata. I said, you mean to tell me that that guy is not really guilty in his heart for what he's doing? I said, you're an abomination, Father. I said, and if he's not guilty, then I'm going to tell you something right now, pal. Nobody could ever be guilty in the history of the world for committing any type of crime. I said, this is insanity what you're preaching. That's what they all preach. None of them believe you can ever really, 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 really say someone's definitely on the road to hell. And our Lord says in Matthew 15:18, those things that proceed from the heart come forth out of the mouth, and these things defile a man. So you can, our Lord Jesus is telling us, you can tell what a man is by listening to what he speaks and what he does. And our Lord Jesus says, because we can hear what he says and what he does, we can know that it comes from his heart, and therefore he's guilty. Matthew 15:18 is a great one that condemns these guys, along with just common sense. But anyway, this is the epitome. This heresy we're talking about is so bad. It's so deep, and it's so silly and so stupid even. You wouldn't think, how can anybody go for it? But it fits perfectly with these bastards who love the world that have given up the spirit of martyrdom because they don't want to be persecuted by people. Because they don't have to tell any one person, particular person to their face, that they're on the road to hell. And unfortunately, this family I just mentioned to you, the Canesnes, they're all on the road to hell right now because they're going to Mass in non-Catholic churches. I pray for them a lot because at one time I was very much close to them, but that's when I was outside the church too and on my journey in. So I pray for them on the top of my list as to convert them. But they're in serious trouble where they are right now. They're committing grievous sins of omission and not professing the faith the way they should. After all these things that, for instance, they would have no problem, some of them at least I know, to go to Mass to Father Trinchard after what you heard him just say there. You see, so what's going on here? Does the faith matter? What's more important, the faith or the Mass? They're going to the SSP 10, some of them. Some are going to Father Joe Collins at Apostate in Glenmont, New York, in the St. Michael the Archangel Chapel. And some of them are going to the Fraternity of St. Peter. That's the self-professed members of the Vatican II Church. And it goes on and on. It's a mess. All these people see these things, and aren't they taken into the heart and soul what's going on here? One crime like this that I just read to you for Father Paul Trinchard in the good days of the church, and when she had the power to do so, if she didn't have state power, if she had state power, that boy's handed all, he's given 1 month to repent, maybe 2-3 months, and after that he's burned at the stake if he doesn't repent. That's how bad it is. That is how vicious it is what he did. He's a killer of souls. Catholics don't do this to non-Catholics. They only do to those who were Catholic and profess to be Catholic and become heretics because they're a danger to the Catholic community and scandalize other people when they look at this behavior from a so-called Catholic. So in the good, this Father Trinchard, even if we had no state power, he'd be cast out amongst us and infamous. Avoided. You wouldn't even, St. John wouldn't even take a shower in a public stall next to a guy like that because God might strike him with a lightning bolt. Now this is how far we've got. Now you go tell that to any non-Catholic judge in the United States or in the world, he'll laugh at you. You say, you guys are dopes, man. He really think you're doing drugs from the 1960s, some type of LSD drugs or something. This guy's smoking pot or something. He is really, really deluded. I mean, but it's why are they doing it? It fits their lack of spirit of martyrdom. They don't, with that type of attitude, they're off the hook. They're never going to get martyred for the Catholic faith. And they're never going to get martyred, period. But God's the one who's going to kill them. They don't realize it. When you go to hell, you're going to get your suffering, boy, and you're going to get it for all eternity. So there's a good example of how bad that gets. Now, okay, we read on. Catholics must reject and condemn what the Church rejects and condemns. Catholics must personally reject and condemn whatever and whoever the Catholic Church rejects and condemns. Not just the sin, but also the sinner who committed it. For sin to exist, it needs a vehicle. Men, Sins only exist in men who commit them in thought, word, or deed. In order for Catholics to warn men that they are on the road to hell and call them to repent or convert, it is obvious that they must be able to judge men's hearts and not just their words and actions. Jesus teaches men how to judge the hearts of men. Quote, this is from Matthew 11 and verse 18 to 19. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. But the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and these things defile a man. For from the heart comes forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false testimonies, and blasphemies. End quote. Jesus says that when any of these crimes are committed, they proceed from the heart. And we can know when these crimes are committed. Thus, if a Catholic sees anyone willingly commit one of these crimes, he must condemn the sin and denounce the sinner that committed it. Because the sin comes forth from the sinner's heart. Our Lord teaches in Matthew 6:21, for where thy treasure is, there is thy heart also. And in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the heart, good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh evil. End quote. Do you have ears to hear evil or not? Didn't our Lord say you have ears and you don't hear it, and you have eyes and you don't see? Is that not typical of the non-judgmentalists? Oh, I saw that adultery, but I really didn't see it. I saw it, but he didn't really mean it. I don't know if he really means it. Where's your ears? Where's your eyes? Where's the law upon your heart? And everybody has a law upon their heart, even pagans, to know the sins against the moral commandments. God has given men eyes to see, ears to hear, a mind to think, and grace to think rightly. Therefore, men can know what is in another man's heart if his words or actions are public. Quote, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. End quote. Yes, our Lord tells men how to judge between the good and the bad tree. Quote, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree evil and its fruit evil. For by the fruit the tree is known. Matthew 12:33. Who is he talking to? Just himself? God only can judge? God is talking to all mankind. What, are you kidding me? Guys like Father Trencher spit in the face of everything the Catholic Church ever taught and makes a fool out of himself. I think he's coming up with a theology, and I don't know. I haven't studied the pagan history of the world, of all the non-Catholic, the false gods and false religions, but I venture to say no one is as bad as that theory I just told you there. Because even in their societies, they punish moral crimes. Now we read, as the dressing of the tree showeth the fruit thereof, so a word out of the thought of the heart of man. Ecclesiasticus 27:7. Jesus teaches that men are judged by their words. Quote, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. End quote. Matthew 12:37. Our Lord even judges men guilty of spoken idle words. Words that they did not really mean. Used in ignorance, folly, or anger. Quote, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall render an account for in the day of judgment. Matthew 12:36. And one other important point is to make, even the early lapses that fell outside the Catholic Church because they were being tortured and wanted to save their own life, or the Libicelli that wanted to save their property and only and wrote up papers that said they offered to the idols but didn't. Now these people subjectively in their hearts still believed in Christ, but their mouth said, I don't believe in Christ, and worship the idol. And that is the worst crime of all. It's like denying the whole deposit of faith in one swoop. Because for fear of your own life or losing your material goods, you verbally did not profess Christ but denied Him. And what happened to those early kids? Their heart was guilty too. Even though they still subjectively believed in Jesus, Jesus says, no, you don't really believe in me anymore. Not the real me, because you weren't bold enough, courageous enough to profess it at the cost of your physical life. And the church cast them out of the Catholic Church. They were heretics, apostates, outside the church, and had abjured to come in. And they actually believed in Jesus when they were denying Him, but just wanted to save their own life. There's the opposite of that twist even. They were called lapses, and the ones that fell out because they wanted to save their life from being tortured, or the Libicelli, they didn't want to lose their homes and businesses and positions and authority. So they wrote up papers saying, I offer to the idol, if not offering up to the idol. Because even St. Paul says, he who believes in his heart in Jesus and confesses Him with his mouth shall be saved. Romans 10, the Protestants take that out of context. We're not going to deal with that there. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He's saying, it's not enough just to believe in your heart. You got to confess Jesus with your lips And you have to denounce false religions, or you really, 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 really don't have Jesus in first place in your heart. It's not the true Jesus. You love the world more than him. It's an act of idolatry, and it casts you out of the church. So we can know all these things. Does somebody deny Christ? Does somebody say he respects a false god or a false religion? It's the same thing as giving a credence. You fell outside the church. Done deal. If somebody comes out, if a so-called Catholic says, I respect Islam, it's a nice religion, or like the apostate John Paul II says, I respect Talmudic Judaism, he's an apostate. You can't respect a false god and a false religion. They're abominations in the eyes of God. And I can hear him say that out of his mouth. It's a done deal. I hear that, pal. You're an apostate. In the eyes of the one true God. And these people are all going around hearing all these things and they're saying, we can't judge, we can't judge, leave them alone. Or they turn their back and pretend they didn't hear because they don't want to rub the world the wrong way. Alright, now we read here about St. John the Baptist. Judged the hearts of the Pharisees and the Sadducees of being unworthy until they brought forth good fruits of penance. Quote, and seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, ye brood of vipers, who has showed you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore worthy fruit of penance, end quote, Matthew 3:7-8. There he is. John the Baptist is telling those Pharisees that you're vipers. Here's the non-judgmentalist version of the Bible. You brood of objective vipers who may subjectively be not vipers, but really good men. Bring forth fruits of repentance. That is if you're subjectively guilty, but if you're objectively guilty, don't bring forth fruits. I mean, it's insanity. It's an insane world we're living in. I'm telling you non-Catholics, you're laughing at this, but this is what these dummies that call themselves Catholics that are believing. And I tell you 1,000 times, it's not what the true Catholic Church teaches and never did teach and never will teach. We're teaching what the true Catholic Church teaches. Stay here on this radio station and listen to us. Now we read here, St. Peter judged Simon the magician's heart as not being right. Quote, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. End quote. Acts 8:21. Oh, Peter should have said something different. How could he have done that? Well, objectively, thy heart is not right in the sight of God, but subjectively, it might be right in the eyes of God, and therefore, if thou art guilty, then you have to do this, but if you're not, then you don't have to do this. Oh, boy. He also judged the heart of Ananias, which God confirmed by killing Ananias for his crime. Quote, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan tempted thy heart, that thou shouldest lie to the Holy Ghost, and by fraud keep part of the price of the land? End quote, Acts 5:3. And St. Paul judged men's hearts as being impenitent and under the wrath of God. Quote, but according to the hardness and impenitent, according to thy hardness and impenitent heart, thou treasurest up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the last, of the just judgment of God. End quote, Romans 2:5. He judged hearts previous to baptism as being in darkness and belonging to Satan. Quote, you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord, Ephesians 5:8. He could have done none of these things according to the non-judgmentalists. You may as well throw out the whole Bible. You may as well not even read anything that requires you to make any kind of a judgment with this kind of a abominable heresy. It's unheard of. I think it's even unheard of, as I just said before, in pagan traditions even. The church teaches that previous to faith in Jesus Christ, the Most Holy Trinity, His Catholic Church and baptism, men's hearts belong to Satan. She demands that all those with the use of reason who are about to be baptized must renounce Satan. Now, St. Paul judged and condemned any man who would teach another gospel, past, present, and future. Quote, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach a gospel to you besides that which we have preached to you, let him be anathema. Galatians 1:8, which condemns every Protestant and schismatic sect that broke off from the Catholic Church, which is preaching another gospel. And St. Paul is talking to laymen, and he says, we have to say, you're anathema, you're on the road to hell, you're outside the church. Not maybe, not objectively, subjectively, it's a done deal. He tells, either they're preaching another gospel or they're not, and if they are, they're anathema. It's that simple. He tells Catholics to try one another and prove if they have the Catholic faith or are reprobates. Quote, try your own selves if you be in the faith. Prove yourselves. Know you not your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless perhaps you be reprobates? 2 Corinthians 13:5. How can this be done if Catholics cannot judge hearts? This requires Catholics to first know the faith and then to judge and denounce men who deny the faith as reprobates. You never hear that no more. Never. As I say, you never hear the words heresy, heretic, reprobates, damnation. Some of these traditionals might say material heretic, but not formal. He's not a real heretic. You don't see no scathing denunciations against anybody from the so-called Catholic world. They're all nominal Catholics outside the church. Just pretenders. Every Catholic is obliged to make these judgments regarding sin and sinners. Our Lord teaches, quote, and why even of yourselves do you not judge that which is just, end quote. Luke 12:57. All men have the natural law upon their hearts so that when they violate it, they have no excuse for ignorance and are fully culpable. The natural law includes the 7 moral commandments as well as the detestation of all falsehoods, false gods, which includes false gods and false religions. If a pagan who knows not the true God violates one of the moral commandments, he is guilty and fully culpable. The law upon his heart accuses him, quote, the Gentiles who have not the law, the 10 commandments, show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience is bearing witness to them, and their thoughts between them accusing or defending one another. That's in Romans chapter 2. They accuse or they get defended by it. If they keep it, then fine, you're okay. If you violate it, you're accused, you're denounced. The sin a pagan commits that accuses him proceeds from his heart that violated the law God placed upon it. It is the natural law upon his heart that accuses and condemns him. Therefore, if any man willfully commits adultery or steals, we can know for certain that adultery or stealing is in his heart, and he is fully culpable with no excuse of ignorance. Quote, for from within, out of the heart of men proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders. Mark 7:21. God's chosen in the Old Testament era, and Jesus Christ and his apostles, and his Catholic Church under the New Covenant, teach that men can and must judge hearts when the crimes are manifest, public. To say that men cannot judge another man's heart is contrary to common sense, is to call God a liar, make a mockery of his grace, and leave men orphans, so that there would be no way for good-willed men to know if they are on the road to hell or in a state of damnation or not. If you do not judge justly, which means you must condemn non-Catholics and Catholics who publicly commit mortal sins, and so also shall you be judged and likewise condemned. You must tell them and denounce them and tell them they're on the road to hell and tell them what they need to do to have a chance to be saved. You would share in the guilt of the sinner you did not correctly judge, denounce, and call to repentance or conversion when you were duty-bound to do so. You would not only harm the sinner by not warning and admonishing him, but also harm your own self in the guilt of mortal sin, of his sin, and the guilt of his mortal sin, and put your own soul on the road to hell. We end this chapter with Ezekiel 3:17-18. If when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou declare it not to him, nor speak to him, that he may be converted from his wicked way and live, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but I shall require his blood at your hands. That's just a sin of omission. When you do not denounce a man who the Catholic Church teaches is a mortal sinner, by what Holy Mother Church teaches us, because God didn't leave us orphans, and you don't fulfill that obligation when you're supposed to, not only did you now make it impossible, unless someone else tells him, for this man to, you didn't give him a chance to save his soul and repent, you put yourself guilty of his own sin, and now you're on the road to hell, and you're going to hell too. So as we go on in a couple of weeks with this, you're going to see how very grievously evil this heresy of non-judgmentalism really actually is. And it has to do with denying the salvation dogma also. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.